The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Great job. And we have many opportunities for children and teenagers and adults, whether single or married, to be able to get involved, not just come to church, but actually get involved and serve Christ. And I hope you'll avail yourself to be able to do that with yourself or with your family. Matthew chapter 2 and in verse 1, the Bible says, as we look at this verse again, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." And I want to speak to you this morning on the wise men's wisdom, the wise men's wisdom. You know, I think all of us like to try to do wise things. We try to be wise in the things that we do, and there's no better way to be able to understand some wise things that we ought to do, especially during the Christmas season, than to be able to study those that God himself called wise men. Here we see in verse 2, Matthew chapter 2 and in verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Now here they come, they're coming into the Jerusalem area, and they begin to inquire, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" The Bible says, "For we have seen a star in the east, and we are come to worship him." Look down, if you will, in verse 3. The Bible says, "And when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." You know, the Bible talks about this one that is Herod the king. Of course, Herod the king was there in Jerusalem, and it was during the days, of course, of Bethlehem, when Bethlehem is brought to the forefront, where our Lord Jesus Christ was there laying in a manger. Bethlehem also means house of bread. I think that's very appropriate, knowing that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. We see that Herod here is very intense. We see that Herod, being the king, was jealous. We see that now all of a sudden that begins to come to the forefront with his jealousy and his intensity, if you would please. It develops into anger. And by the way, we ought to be wise in everything we do, in even controlling ourselves. We have two of our men that are outstanding men that's in our church. We have a security program here. Of course, we want to make sure that everybody's well protected. And we have two of our men that's a part of that, that's in California right now receiving additional training to be able to provide a even better security in our church. And all of a sudden, somebody came up to me this morning and they said, "Preacher, the doors are not unlocked." And so I shot one of these men a text, and I said, "You know, the person that it was handed off to unlock the doors did not unlock the doors." And I said, "Please shoot this man a text and let him know." But for some reason, where it said a text, that didn't record. And so I said, now here they are, they're in California and they're receiving training to be able to protect their church even more. And so what the text read, "Please shoot this man." And then I later on, you know, one of the men texted me back and said, "Do you really want us to do that?" And so I had to kind of go back and reread what I said. You know, have you ever said something that maybe you shouldn't have said quite that way? Have you ever done that? You know, there was a lady years ago, she was an elderly lady, and she had many children and many grandchildren, and every year it just became stressful. You know how it is at Christmas time, trying to buy the right gift for the right person, and you're trying to catch it on sale, because after all, you know, what they want is more expensive than you want to budget. And so she decided, well, I'm just tired of the hassle. I'm tired of standing in lines. I'm tired of just trying to buy the right gift for the right person. And so she had a pretty novel idea. She thought, "I'm going to send a Christmas card to everyone. And inside the Christmas card, I'm going to place a check. And I'm just going to tell them, you know, buy your own presents." The only problem is she forgot to put the check inside the Christmas card. So they opened up the check and it said, "Buy your own presents." And so, you know, there's some things, you know, that maybe we need to think through and double check on some stuff just to make sure that we use wisdom in all that we do. Many years ago, of course, as those who would study the wise men that would come from the East, early traditions would say that there was about 12 to 14 of them as the different ones would get up and teach about those that were the wise men that would come from the East. And then later on, for some reason, it got narrowed down to three, maybe to correspond with the three gifts that was given. And some thought that these were people that came from Arabia, or maybe they came from Babylon. They were Babylonians, and so maybe they came from there. But most people kind of get the idea that these were men from Persia, and they came. There was even a song that developed later on We Three Kings, and so I think almost everybody has settled down to say, okay, it must have been three kings because there was three gifts. Now, hey, maybe it was 12. Maybe it was 20. Maybe it was 30. You know, the Bible doesn't really make it clear. If you get to heaven before I do, you can ask. If I get to heaven before you do, I can ask. I don't really think it's going to make a difference as far as what you believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. We do know this, that no matter how many of those wise men that was there that day, we do understand that they taught us something, that we can look in and we can study them and we can learn some things that will help us to be better Christians, yes, even at Christmas time. Take your Bible and look at Matthew chapter 2. We'll abide in Matthew chapter 2. But in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, and when they heard, had heard the king, the Bible says, they departed, and though it says a star that they saw in the east, says, went before them till they came and stood over where the child was. And so let me draw to your attention three things I believe we can learn from the wise men. Statement number one, they were wise because they followed the leadership of the Lord. They were wise because they followed the leadership of the Lord. The Bible says, and lo, a star, it says, and it says, in which they saw in the east that went before them. So what were they doing? They were following the leadership of the Lord. And by the way, these were those, no doubt, that was a part of the massive amount of people that was just waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting with great expectation for the Messiah to be able to come. And these were those that appeared before Herod the Great, Herod the King, if you will. And they appeared because they went there searching. They knew approximately where baby Jesus was going to be, but they went into the city and they began to search, and they began to wonder the specific area as to where Jesus was going to be. But they had guidance. God gave them guidance. And in this case, God gave them a star. Now, by the way, can I say that you ought to wait until God shows you definitely before ever making a move in any direction? We ought to make sure that God is in every decision that we make. Somebody said, when in doubt, don't. I think that's pretty good. You know, there's the peace that passeth all understanding. Sometimes here's what we do as children of God, and maybe because we live in Western civilization, I'm not really sure, or maybe because we live in the Dallas metro, I'm not really sure about that either, but I do know this, that sometimes we get in a hurry. I know that. And it seems like in our Western culture, and yes, people that live in cities such as the Dallas Metro, it seems like that city people, and I'm not slamming us because I live here too, but it just seems like that sometimes we're a little bit more tense. It seems like that sometimes we're in a little bit more of a hurry. I remember when I graduated from Bible college, we went up to Brooklyn, New York. And somebody told me when we lived in Brooklyn, as we were getting ready to move to Brooklyn, New York, somebody said this. They said, now, the culture is going to shock you. I mean, everything is fast-paced. Everything is run, run, run. Everything is do, do, do. Everything is now, now, now. The culture is going to shock you. But to be honest with you, it didn't shock me, because my dad worked in Baltimore City, Maryland, so I would travel down often to be with him, and I was used to a dad that was just on the mark, get set, and go, and he would do it all with one press of the button. I was kind of used to that. But when we moved from Brooklyn, New York to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, can I tell you, that was a shock to my system. because what was happening then is I was a little bit excited. I was a little bit on fire for God, and I wanted to do something, and I wanted to do it now, and it seemed like that the people that were living in at least the region that we lived in was a little bit slower than what I was used to. I remember hearing stories, and I'd go over and sit on somebody's front porch, and we'd begin to talk, and it just seemed like that they had not just all day, but they had all week. And they wanted to talk and talk and talk and talk, and I'm for fellowship, and I'm for talking, and I'm for getting to know people, but it just seemed like it was just a little mite slower than what I was used to. Now, can I tell you, no matter where God places you in life, whether God places you here, whether God places you in the country, whether God places you maybe out in some other country, whether God places you on the moon, it doesn't matter. What does matter is that you take your time in always following the Lord. Because if you follow the Lord, you'll make wiser decisions. If you follow the Lord, you won't be quick to jump on something when you think that something is going right or when something is going wrong. You'll not be quick to make hasty decisions. And by the way, can I tell you, the Bible says, be not in haste. And so we're not supposed to be hasty. We're not supposed to make quick decisions. We're not supposed to say, well, and by the way, can I help you out a little bit? Don't be quick to pass prejudgments on people or on things or events or on churches or even on our president or other things. Can I tell you this? Let's be very careful that we follow the Lord in all that God would have us to do. There was a man by the name of Laf Fook. He was a Chinese man. He had a burden for those that were called the coolies. The coolies were those that were taken to South Africa to work in the mines. These were Chinese people. And they were taken, and they were slaves that was going to work in the mines of South Africa, and all of them were Chinese. And Brother Fook, he decided that I want to reach them, but I can't reach them. I can't get to them. I mean, they're in bonds. They're working in the mines. And so he decided, here's what I'm going to do. Laf began to think about this. And as Laf began to think about this, he said, the only way I can reach them is if I become one of them. So he had somebody to sell him into slavery. As he was sold into slavery, he went into the mines. And he went in with all the other ones that was in the mines. And for 5 years, he did nothing but work the mines and witness to people. I mean, he'd witness to them in the morning time. He'd witness to them in the afternoon time. He'd witness to them in the evening time. He had such a burden for these Chinese people. He wanted them so to be saved. He didn't want them to perish and die and burn in hell without the gospel. And so he would go in and he would work and he would work. And he died after 5 years. He died as a slave. He was only going to serve 5 years. And that was his intent. The same man that was going to sell him into slavery is the same man that was his friend that was going to get him out of slavery and buy him out of slavery, and that was the total plan. But he developed a sickness the last year of his life and was not able to make contact with his friend, and his friend was not able to get him out, and he died there in the mines in South Africa. You may say, well, what a tragedy. How horrible is that? But wait a minute, this man followed the Lord. And because this man followed the Lord, according to the records that's been recorded about him and his ministry, over 200 of those Chinese people received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Can I tell you, it's because he followed the Lord that those 200 slave miners received Christ. Now, what is it that God could lead you to do? See, here's what we have, and we just want it comfortable. I mean, and I'm not against that. I like comfortability. I do. In the summertime, I thank God my car has air. In the wintertime, I thank God that my truck has heat. And my wife and I are even a little bit more fortunate because we have what we call heated seats. So you can press the button. And all of a sudden, the heat rises. I'll tell you funny, many years ago, Carl Hatch and I was preaching, and we just finished out preaching, and we were preaching for a fellow in Mississippi. And the pastor of this particular church said, hey, look, he said, I'll take you guys to the airport because I was going to drive up with them just to make sure Brother Hatch got on the plane. And so we're driving up to the airport. And as we're driving up to the airport, all of a sudden he felt like he was sweating. He just felt like it was really bad. I'm sorry, it was on the way back. I drove up to the airport. And he said, look, you drove up to the airport. He said, I'll drive on the way back. I said, okay. So he got into my Suburban back then. I had a big old Suburban, and he got in there, and his elbow hit the heated seat. And he couldn't figure out what was going on. And he said, preacher, and it big fella now. He said, preacher, I think I'm having a heart attack. I said, what do you mean you think you're having a heart attack? He said, I don't know what's going on. He said, it started down here and started working its way up here. I said, I don't think that's where heart attacks start, is down there. He said, but it started down here, started working its way up my back, and now it's on my shoulders. And he said, my heart is beating, I'm sweating. He said, I just feel like that, man, I'm going to die. And I said, well, pull over, because I don't want you to die in my truck. So if you pull over and get in the gas station, here's what I'll do. I'll take the wheel, and I'll get you to a hospital. And so he got out of the truck, and I helped him around to the passenger side, and he got in. He said, I'm not feeling good. I feel weak, and I feel like I'm going to just die. And so we got out, and I helped him in the other side, and I said, okay, let's find out where the nearest hospital is. And when I jumped in the seat, boy, that seat was hot. I felt like I was going to have a heart attack. And I said, brother, I don't think you're having a heart attack. I think that your bottom's on fire. I think that's what the problem is. Because he'd hit that heated seat. Now, wait a minute. I'm saying this. I'm saying that before you jump out and before you decide that, man, I tell you what, this is an emergency in my life, maybe it would be good to evaluate the whole thing. And maybe it would be good to put God first in your life. And maybe it would be good to slow down a little bit and ask for God to give you leadership before you jump into an area that's going to cause you possibly to make the wrong decision. I'm saying this, statement number one, they were wise because they followed the leadership of the Lord. Statement number two, they were wise because they sought Jesus for the right reason. They were wise because they sought Jesus for the right reason. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 2 and in verse 10, the Bible says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced and were exceeding great joy. The Bible says in verse 11, the Bible says, and when they were coming to the house, that they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down, watch this, and worshiped him. And what did they do after that? Well, they opened their treasures. What did they do after that? The Bible says they presented unto him gifts. So they were all in about seeking the Lord for the right reason. They didn't come to get, they come to give. They did not come to say, well, let me tell you, what I came here because after all, I want you to be my master and my king. Oh, they already knew he was master and king. And because of that, they came to him to bear that which was gifts. By the way, one of the greatest things that would ever happen in your life as you mature, as an adult, or yes, maybe even as a young person, one of the greatest things that ever happened in your life is when you come to the maturity level where it's not about the getting, but it's about the giving. When you come to the point, to the place, it's not, mom, dad, I want this, and I deserve this, and I ought to have this. But when you get to the point and to the place where you look out and you find somebody that's less fortunate than you, and find somebody that's hurting worse than you are, and find somebody that's without God and without the gospel and the understanding of Christ, and you decide that you're going to go somewhere along the line in our lives, we have to decide that we're going to stop being a selfish bunch of Christians, but we have to decide that Jesus Christ is the God of the Bible, Christ incarnate. He is the one that deserves all the praise and all the glory and all that which is giving due diligence to him. And as we decide to do that, God can help us. I'm saying that they were wise. Why? Because they sought Jesus for the right reason. Many years ago, back in 1972, the Miami Dolphins had an undefeated regular season. They went 14-0. By the way, there's about 30 odd type of teams that's out there that try to do what they did. They made it all the way to the Super Bowl, undefeated. Somebody started asking them questions to find out, how could you do this? This has never been done before. And so how could you do this? How could you make it all the way to the Super Bowl, 1972, have a regular season, and not one time be defeated? How could you do it? Here's what they said. Because we have a no-name defense. By the way, if you look it up, if you're a sports advocate, you can look it up and you can see that it talks about the no-name defense. You know why? Because they were all doing their job with excellence in their area, but wanted none of the glory. They wanted none of the praise. It was a team effort. It was everybody working together. And because of that, the whole purpose of it is that we're going to win as a team. The sum of every person was the whole, but the sum of every person within themselves was that which was to do excellent. Now, would to God our families would be that way. Would to God, instead of brothers and sisters complaining about each other and, well, you know, mom, dad, you give so-and-so more attention than you give me. Would to God that it would be that everybody just pulls together. Amen. I think we could have better marriages today if everybody just decided to pull together. Look, when your husband does a lame brain thing, when your wife does a lame brain thing, just let it pass. Don't get mad at them. Just let it pass. And one of the things I love about Sylvia is sometimes I will pull some of those lame brain things. And one of the things that I love about her so much is she, number one, never holds it over my head. Number two, never beats me up with it. Amen. Yeah, that makes me not afraid to enter into the same room afraid she's going to meet me with a baseball bat. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that they were wise because they sought the leadership of the Lord. They were wise because they sought the Lord for the right reason. Statement number three, and I'm done. They were wise because they gave Jesus the very best that they had. You know, if you do a study about these things that they brought, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11, the latter part, the Bible says that they had opened their treasures and they presented on him gifts. Now, what were these gifts? There was gold. There was frankincense. There was myrrh. These were some pretty fancy gifts. But yet, these gifts also displayed who Christ was. Gold is a picture of royalty. Is not Christ the one that is the perfect representation of royalty? You think about Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He deserves the most expensive thing you could ever give. You know what the most expensive thing you could ever give is? You. You. Wait a minute. So there's gold. There's frankincense, often used in the Old Testament during the sacrifices that was done in the temple. It was that which was a perfume, if you will, type of ointment that was put on the sacrifices that made the sacrifices in the eyes of God to be proper and perfect. There was that which was myrrh. Many times those that would use myrrh, especially those that were the Egyptians, and many times the Jews would follow the same format. It was an embalming type of fragrance where it was something that was thick, thicker than frankincense. Frankincense is not thick. It's a very light oil. But myrrh is very thick. And so it would be that which would seal, if you will, please, the body to keep that which from wrong aroma coming out of the body after death. But also it was used back in those days by the Chinese because it was known as a cancer treatment. And so they would take that myrrh and they would put it on cancer spots that was on a person. And after a while, according to their records and their research, it showed that those cancer spots would eventually be able to go away. And so, wait a minute, they brought that which was myrrh to be able to anoint the body. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." He is the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. And by the way, these wise men knew that. These wise men were able to see this is the one that is sent from God. I don't know about you, but I am so glad that I met the one that was sent from God. Amen. And because of that, there is, you know, I think sometimes here's what we want, and I'm going to help you out a little bit, but I think sometimes here's what we want. We want Christianity to be deep, deep, deep. Let's study the spiritual knot holes of Noah's Ark. And I think that might be good from time to time, but not necessarily Noah's Ark's knot holes. But I think sometimes we try to make, yes, even the gospel a little bit more difficult than it is. The gospel is compared to, if you will, please, a drink of water. Something that's fresh, something that will quench the thirst. It's compared to bread. It's compared to light. The gospel is something that should be easy for somebody to be able to give out. Oh, you say, "Well, I don't know how to do that, preacher." All you got to do is give them a gospel tract and say, on the back of that tells you what happened to me. It's not a hard thing to be able to do. You would be amazed at how God could use the gospel. They knew exactly. Three. We're going to stay with the common, if you will. Though when you get to heaven, it might have been 40. But here these wise men, they come. And as these wise men come, they offer three different gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. As they come to offer those things, what they do, they seek the leadership of the Lord. What they do, they sought Jesus as being the right for the right reason. What they do, they gave their very best when they stepped into his presence. You know, isn't it amazing? The World Press Review published an article that was given to them by the National Concord of Lagos, Nigeria, that said, "Below that which is the Sahara Desert lies 26 huge, massive lakes. But right below the Sahara Desert is where these lakes are." Now, wait a minute, watch this. How many people have died on the Sahara Desert walking over the answer? How many people have the answer that God has given them? The American space shuttle of Columbia did the echoes that they do to be able to see, and they say some of these lakes go miles deep underneath the Sahara. Now, can I tell you, listen, I think sometimes people, they're thirsty, and they don't get the drink, but yet the drink is right there. The drink is right there. And Jesus Christ is the one that can give that fulfillment. I deal with people all the time, and I'm kind of shocked, especially by maybe some Christians that come from time to time where they try to get this to give them joy, and they try to get this to give them joy. And so they'll step over here, and they'll try this, and then they'll step over there because they don't get fulfillment. And it might be drugs, or it might be liquor, or it might be chasing wild women. But they step over here, and they do this, and they step over here, and they do this, and they step over, and they're still unhappy. They're still searching. You know why? Because only Jesus can satisfy. When a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, but wait a minute, that's for the believer. When a person gets saved, that satisfaction comes, but that is for the believer. Once you become a believer, that satisfaction is there. But can I tell you, it does not stay there as a believer if you become undedicated. Because, you know, once you're saved, you're still supposed to be that person that allows God to work in your life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So as I take the Word of God in, It's like taking vitamins. It's like taking a nutritional drink, maybe your B12. But here's what it does, is the Word of God will infuse you, not confuse you, but will infuse you to be able to go forward. But I think here's what we're doing. Many people today, because of the games that's out there, many people today, because the movies are so adventurous and so dynamic and all these things, you know, what they're wanting is when they look in the Bible, they want the Bible to come alive so much that a movie screen pops out. Or that a Nintendo thing, or if they're still around, they pop out. You know, and that's what, but can I tell you, sometimes you just have to listen to God as God is a still, small voice. And you have to say, hey, look, this is grabbing at me, and this is grabbing at me, and oh, I need to make a decision now. Sometimes you just need to wait. Let the Lord lead. Seek Him for who He is. Allow Him to be able to receive your total attention, to be able to direct you in the paths that you should go. Father, we thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.